On page 124, you get into the poetics again when you it says they had said to each other that they didn't want to write any more poems that demonstrated their adept use of irony and book smarts to communicate their knowing superiority to capitalism, and they didn't want to write any more poems that narrated their pseudo edgy sexual exploits in a way to suggest that such exploits were somehow in and of themselves political, and they didn't want to write any more poems that made people feel sad or guilty or go, oh no. So a little bit more of a clue there. And then on the next page, the characters are interested in, quote, new configurations for political art and action, and the connections between place and time and writing, and as something more than an artistic problem. So the one thing that is of immediate interest for me is place. Can you talk about the importance of place in your writing and in your lives?
Well, I mean, Juliana will hopefully be able to say a lot, because so much of her work is really tied up with place and the using documentary aspects and from her work in Hawaii to more recent things. And I do, I mean, the book that's coming out this fall from Future Poem is a collection of prose works, most of which are come out of and are struggling around questions of place, specifically in San Francisco, and you know, I mean, there's a tradition of the so-called poetics of place that goes back to as far back to Olson and might say Nitocker, and that I think is important for both of us, but we don't necessarily write in. I'm not sure if the work would be recognizably like, oh, this is in that tradition. I think there's a lot of shift and new thinking around eco-poetics in the last 10, 15 years that has likewise sort of been an intervention against sort of tropes of so-called nature writing or environmentalist poetry. So I think there's a lot of interesting rethinking about place and our relationship to it. And also, I mean, the last thing I'd add there is also the thinking a lot about place in the context of the global. So place can be a different thing than merely the local. Like I'm writing something about my neighborhood because I want to talk about place, but how do I do that in a way that also recognizes that it's part of a huge global formation of political, economic, as well as ecological and all those sort of things, which I think you see in Juliana's work a lot.
I feel like I came to that when I moved to Hawaii, which has a really very interesting and specific literary scene, part of which is often dealing with localism or the locale of Hawaii, and is often very political around it. It's also dealing with, it's a kind of anti-colonial literature quite frequently, although not exclusively. And I was trying to think around that, coming out of this kind of Olson, Nitocker kind of tradition in some way, and how to, how to negotiate that. And I mean, the Hawaii stuff's really interesting because so much it's constantly aware of how one of the things that literature often has done throughout history is hold on to place or hold on to detailed information about place, like the names of the winds and the names of chants in the Hawaiian tradition that have all the kind of like the names of the fish that you can eat and where they are and all that kind of data. And I mean, poetry in particular has been very good at holding on to that. And I was kind of thinking about that, but then like, as Book said, there was also, at the same time as someone who had come in from outside, like I wasn't wanting to write that kind of what they call in Hawaii the 747 poem, like written by the person that arrives by plane. And so I was trying to think about like, what do you learn from that kind of, those kind of literary traditions, but also like, how do you think about them in this time of globalization in some way, or like, what are the other forces that are kind of coming on top of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because certainly localisms can be, I'm not saying this about those formations in Hawaii, but localisms can be, very, very conservative and in their politics closed off from a sense of sort of larger global interweavings and interdependencies. And I think that that's also something that's showing up in, I'm thinking like Mark Nowak's work is a sort of documentary poet, but he comes out of, he's trained as an anthropologist or ethnographer, I think. And so he might, his most recent book is, goes back and forth, but it's around mining and labor, but it goes back and forth between the mining disaster and West Virginia 5-6 years ago, and those that are happening in China. And to sort of, so there's an attention to place, but also there's this trying to sort of put these things alongside each other to sort of draw out or demonstrate or think about the similarities and the differences, right? So, and you know, very uneven sort of uneven development, how that shows up in these different places, and yet what they have in common, which might be, you know, questions of labor or resource extraction and its connection to lived lives and stuff.